We had to do a real job of explaining to everyday New Yorkers that the federal government has abandoned this important issue. That's a national issue. So they're angry, and it's going to come out. I'm the mayor.
Now, I don't know for how much longer you'll be mayor. That's, of course, recognizable voice from New York City. That's their mayor for now. Former cop Eric Adams. And hi, welcome to the Dana Show. Happy Monday. Merry Christmas. T-minus 7 days and counting. Christmas 1 week from today. Isn't that cool? I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. You want to say hi online? It's at Sergio Talk on the Twitter thing. I just remember, my goodness, I should have promoted it online. I completely forgot. Okay, so Mayor Eric Adams on the illegal immigration crisis. The federal government has abandoned this important issue. Devil's in the detail, Mayor. And the devil here, that'd be Joe Biden. Yeah, it's Joe Biden who has abandoned the issue. Now, it's not exclusive. This problem is not exclusive to Joe Biden. Joe Biden, it just made a bigger mess of the mess that we already have, right? By pretty much opening the entire border, just let everybody in and claim asylum. That's the gist of it. Just let everybody in. So Joe Biden has given this whole issue a peculiar, a very specific type of stink to it. So start, give credit, you know, point the finger where credit is due. Chances are Eric Adams is not going to be there much longer. He did us all a favor by properly calling on the federal government to pay attention on this illegal immigrant problem. And yes, of course, under Joe Biden, they've been going through all sorts of legal contortions to say, oh, they're migrants. They're asylum seekers. And just perverted the whole immigration system in our country. You know, I feel so bad for folks that are in line to get into this country legally. Folks who have waited for years, either because of, you know, through marriage or a business opportunity or an investment opportunity, or because, you know, through family, they've had a chance to get a green card and be part of the family business and just work through the legal means. Pay attorneys, pay filing fees with the State Department, and just wait. Those folks, man, you talk about an opportunity for, you know, a big story, do a follow-up at the national level, and shine a light on the on another set of victims of this Joe Biden open border policy. It's the people who wish to do things legally by the thousands waiting, and they're having to wait even more because at this moment the immigration court system is completely clogged with millions upon millions of illegal immigrants who think that they have a chance to stay, and we know that they don't. Federal government abandoning this important issue, and it's an issue that is missing from the news still. With the necessary emphasis, the necessary drumbeat in the news to provide an informed and intelligent electorate in this country. I think it's a winning message, and it's something I want to share with you a conversation a little later on in this hour of the program. I'm here in Texas, in South Texas, filling in for my friend Dana. God bless you, Dana, you and Chris, and all the crew at the Dana Show. I refer to this little affiliate, KURV, in the RGV of Texas, is the Dana Show Southern Committee. We're on the front lines of all this illegal immigration mess. But they're not staying here in South Texas. No, they're going to New York, Mayor Adams. They're going to you, Chicago. They're going to D.C. And part of that is the busing system from Governor Greg Abbott in Texas. God bless you, Governor Abbott. Merry Christmas, Greg, up in Austin. I know you're probably listening to one affiliate up in Central Texas. But they're going up to Boston, and it's a conversation I had with a friend of mine, a political friend and a news friend, Jennifer Nassauer from Massachusetts with the GOP up there. Yes, I expect the message of illegal immigration, the Biden border fiasco, this mess, this Biden border disaster, I expect the national media to ignore it. I definitely expect the leftist cable news media and all the lefty, you know, former newspaper, former magazine, now online sites. All the, I expect them to ignore this because it doesn't favor them politically. It doesn't help their team, their leftist team, their socialist team, their leader, Joe Biden, and whoever's going to represent him or replace him on the ballot for the Democrats next year. But as I'm at the gate, deep South Texas, the border of Texas, affiliate KURV, the Southern Command for Dana, They're headed up to Dana's backyard, up in Dallas. They're headed up to big cities, up Midwest, Northeast, Boston, Massachusetts. There are so many stories coming to me, and I go fish for them. You'll find them easily. They're not hard to find. And for the news directors, the assignment editors, the individuals up at the Dinosaur Media up Northeast, the write-ups by some responsible local news and maybe some local papers that have gone online, there's plenty of reports of the stress that illegal immigration, otherwise referred to under Joe Biden as asylum seekers, migrants. It's illegal immigrants. It's all it is. People jumping ahead of the line. The stress on affordable housing, the stress on schools, the stress on providing medical care. And these people, these folks are not, they're not leaving. So I want to share with you a conversation with Jennifer Nassar, because I think right now is the opportunity. Right now is like the time for a national GOP to be messaging this. There's, you know how they, if you guys took a public speaking class a long time ago, because I remember this in college, and as a youth volunteer and youth pastor 3 decades ago, he said, when you prepare a message, you find yourself, because of people's attention span and the fact that you can keep all the information just nicely compact into 3 salient points, right now is the time for Ronald McDonald, Ronald McDaniel. And I know it might sound disrespectful. I have very, I don't know Ms. Ronna McDaniel. I just know she's a Romney. I know that under her leadership, the GOP has not done well at all. I know that the ground game is not there. I know she's in charge as a leader for the Republic. She's in charge of national fundraising, sticking her hand down, getting all the big donors together. You need a vision. Without vision, we've been perishing. Without vision, we are going to perish in 2024. I don't think Donald Trump is going to perish. Donald Trump's going to be the nominee. Like, as much as some of y'all don't want, it is what it is. And despite everybody coming up against him, trying to throw him in jail, he's going to be the GOP nominee. And you know what? I think because of some of the election reforms in many states, including, well, most importantly, in swing states, I think he's got it. I think he will be the president. I think he's going to go back again. So the thing is, we're on 2 tracks. We got the Trump campaign has been abandoned by the GOP, and the GOP doing those things. GOP doing nothing. This is the time to be messaging 3 salient points. Number one is the pocketbook issue. It's Bidenflation. They can try to spin and sell as much as they want to on the Biden side. What was it? They were trying to spin some numbers and trying to blame others. Oh, here it is. Cut 4, Steve-O, is Jared Bernstein bragging about the cost of groceries and gas under Joe Biden, all this stuff going down. Cut 4, Steve, real quick.
From our perspective, head down, continue to implement the policies that we've been talking about thus far. Bringing down costs, we talked about some key areas, groceries, I talked about gas, talked about some of the items that are important around the holidays.
What can we get it done in the first half of the year, though?
We're getting it done now.
Yeah. I can hear that. Can you get it done the first half of the year to finish your sentence, to save Joe Biden? Costs ain't coming down. And one thing is coming down. I mean, and let's be realistic here. Cost on the gasoline side, on the pump side, is coming down. You know, Joe Biden had nothing to do with it. I'm going to be honest with you. Gas has come down. I recognize it. I'm thankful for it. Joe Biden had nothing to do with it. Did you hear Joe Biden out there saying, drill, baby, drill? You hear Joe Biden say, we need to extract more of America's natural gas and petroleum resources. Hell no. Joe Biden is 180 degrees opposed to that. His policies are making it very difficult for the producers, for the folks extracting this natural God-given mineral, this petrol base, this petroleum-based mineral, the energy of our country, the lifeblood of our economy, which is oil, which is petrol. Joe Biden has done anything. It's the producers. It's the folks who extract. It's the industry that's trying to keep up with demand. It's the industry, folks who sat on the side for a while waiting for an investment opportunity. They say, okay, price of barrel oil pretty solid, over 60, over 70. It's been pretty consistent. It's kind of high. OPEC is trying to screw us again. You know, the Saudis, Mexico, Venezuela, all the OPEC nations trying to screw us again. We're gonna because we know we can. We did under Donald Trump. We were an exporter. We were meeting pretty much all our demands for petrol in our country. So we can, and it's the petroleum industry that's been trying to meet that. So aside from gas, thanks to petroleum producers, thanks to natural gas producers, extractors, and distributors in this country, thanks to them, we're seeing, I'll say more of a normalizing of price. We're still well above $230, $240, $250. It's kind of expensive, but I'm sure, thank you, Jesus, for our industry, petroleum industry. In this country, we're not paying over three. It's not $3.15, not $3.50. You guys driving around out there somewhere, headed to grandma's house, going to see family. God bless you. You guys be safe on the road. Don't forget, you got like 104 other million people on the road. So you guys play defense out there. But gas is a little bit more affordable. No thanks to Joe Biden. The price of food has not gone down and will not go down. The only thing that has gone down that's inflation related is the amount of percentage that grows from year to year. And people, because people feel that to this day, it's 24 months ago is not that, you know, far, you know, behind us in the rearview mirror, man. And I feel it in my pocket, and I thank God for this good job. And some other contract work, for a little, you know, I thank God for my wife's employment. We can absorb that. But what was that report back in the summer? You guys recall those reports that said that American families are paying like over $700 a month more every single month. 700 times 10, 7,000 plus another 1,400, which would be November and December. That's over $8,400 more a month. And for a family that's making $60,000, $50,000 a year, and take away those $8,000. They just had a pay cut of $8,400 a year in extra expenditures because food costs more, energy costs more, fuel costs more compared to 24 months ago. It's there. That's why inflation is not going away. The rate of inflation is down, but the price of everything is through the roof. And that's why Joe Biden, despite what he says, and his people like Jared Bernstein trying to spin the numbers, the cost of groceries and gas are down. Wrong. The groceries ain't down. They ain't going down. The price of energy is a lot more, and we're still feeling it, and we're going into next year. And whatever we hurt, however much we hurt right now, it's going to hurt even more next year by an additional 3.5%. And that's why cut one, and I'll go to break here in a second, Steve. That's why Biden doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. He said, why are people not supporting me? Yeah, go ahead, Steve. Go ahead. Just cut one.
Mr. President, why are you losing to Trump in the polls?
You're reading the wrong poll. You're reading the wrong numbers. He doesn't get it. Poor man's barely there on a daily basis. Hey, you're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, reporting to you from The Dana Show Southern Command, still on blessed soil, still in Texas. I'm in South Texas. She's in North Texas. I'm at the door of illegal immigration, but heads up, muchachos, heads up, gang. They're going to you up in Dallas. They're going to you up in Chicago, up in New York, up in Boston. Yeah, have fun under this Biden border fiasco. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You want to say hi online, go to the Twitter thing, and it's at Sergio Talk. Merry Christmas.
As we get moving, our friends over at Wise Food Storage, it's always good to be prepared, and you'd rather not know You'd rather know where your next meal is coming from instead of not knowing. And that's where Wise Food Storage comes in. They have a buy one, get one free discount, 72-hour food kit, 120-serving breakfast bucket, all at wisefoodstorage.com. You just type Dana in the search bar, and they get you access to exclusive deals on their best-selling products, like the 72-hour food kit or the 120-serving breakfast bucket. All of the food is made with high-quality U.S. ingredients, freeze-dried, dehydrated, super easy to prepare. You just add water, and it all has a 25-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals like the buy one, get one free on select food kits. And visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana. That's how you do it. And then, again, use code Dana in the search bar.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Connect the dots, people. Most Americans cutting back on their shopping list this holiday season. Yeah, week before Christmas, Monmouth, a poll finding that half of Americans will not be splurging. Why? What's this, what I was telling you about just a moment back? High prices, inflation, the damage has been done, as one pollster said. You guys be careful if you're traveling up northeast. Massive storm. Looks like it's going to be a wet one. Not a white Christmas. It's going to be a wet one up East Coast. There's like reports of thousands of customers without power. Got a nasty storm moving up northeast. Thank you for joining us on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show from South Texas.
Looking for a proactive solution in the battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Where is the fastest rising area for commercial real estate? Train stations. Another huge effect of COVID are people's commutes to and from their office. While office buildings in major cities are getting cleared out, the only parts of cities that are growing are train stations. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
I'm much more excited about the jobs being created on U.S. soil. And that doesn't just happen. We got to make sure that the U.S. leads the way as this technology changes.
Right.
I don't know a lot of people who think that Americans in 2050 are still going to be driving that old technology, that combustion technology that we inherited
Americans
from
like
the 20th
it.
Century.
Yeah, Americans like it. The bootlicker right next to you. I don't know who that was. Yeah, you recognize that voice. That's the transportation chief. Beep, beep, booty judge. Yeah, I don't know how many people would be advocating for gas-powered engines by 2050. That'd be me and pretty much everybody in Texas. Yeah, everybody likes it, whoever that was next one. No, they don't. We've got an increasing problem of EV inventory stacking up at dealerships all across the country. There's plenty of reports of dealerships across the country telling automakers, stop sending them. We don't have any room for the EVs. People, they're buying these. They're probably buying the more popular ones like Tesla. You know, my neighbor here, Elon Musk, down the road, has Teslas. But I think the honeymoon for that is over. And part of that is, well, do you really trust an EV vehicle to get you where you need to go long distance, especially right now where you have 104 million people on the road traveling for Christmas. And some of them are going to be encountering some really nasty, nasty weather, like up northeast, that nasty storm. Now, thank God that's not like a big snowstorm. But see, that's the one that will get you in trouble. How many reports of these EVs, the batteries, just dying? in the bitter cold. I mean, I would personally trust. And there's a market for this. Look, all the EVs. The problem is that we got the federal government force-feeding EVs, the electric vehicle technology. They're literally putting this cart before the horse, big time. And when you get the government involved and stuff like this, it just skews up the entire market forces that are supposed to be at play. Tesla's sells because they're popular, because they're cool looking, they're avant-garde, and they're chic, and people want to be a part of that. But perhaps a Tesla might be a vehicle for the city at the moment. I would trust, personally, and I like electric vehicle technology. If I know I can afford it, I choose not to buy one. I personally would trust, because I do a lot of traveling, a lot of extended travel, I would trust hybrids. These vehicles that run with some gasoline, they're recharging the engine, the wheels are spinning at the same time. That sounds pretty good to me. I mean, I wish the government take their greedy hands, their incompetent hands off of this entire market when it comes to electric vehicles. We need the technology to catch up. We need academics. We need engineers. We need the industry doing R&D, trying to perfect battery technology. That will take time. That will require a breakthrough somewhere. If tomorrow morning I woke up to news that we can put a glass of water in an engine and run 500 miles, thank you, Jesus, that'd be wonderful. I'm not against that. I know there's probably some people in oil that are saying, oh, man, crap, that'd be the end of us. No, wouldn't it? We'd just be using oil to make plastics and other things that we need. All sorts of plastic materials. We need petroleum for stuff like that. But it's the government forcing this, and now we see an overstock of EVs at some of these places, and some of these dealerships saying, don't send us any more. They're totally screwing up market forces and demand. I was running that. So 2050, they think that by 2050, the majority will be like electric vehicles. In 2050, between now, 26 years from now, a lot of things could happen. I mean, there could be that breakthrough I told you about. It could happen somewhere between these next 26 years where everything's powered by, by water. It'd be beautiful. Anything could happen. But, I mean, if you look at, right now and subtract 25 years, what would that be? It'd be, 2000 or late 90s, right? I mean, I'm driving a vehicle that is almost 20 years old. It's an old GMC truck. I love that truck. That truck doesn't leave me abandoned. And in bitter cold weather, if ever I encountered it and lots of snow, I could drive right through and leave a whole bunch of electric vehicles behind me on the way to my destination. 25 years is nothing. I mean, the vehicles that are new today that are gas-powered, in 25 years from now, I think they're still going to be on the road. They're that good. Anyway, it's time to go on offense, GOP. It's time to start messaging before the left starts brainwashing mental midgets and people that are easily influenced by little sound bites. It's time to go on offense. I'm going to share with you a conversation with my friend Jennifer Nassauer up in Massachusetts. Well, Hunter Biden is back in the news, and we saw a little bit of video of him, and he held an improvised press conference last minute outside the Capitol building. He would not go sit before Republican lawmakers. They're GOP fishing around trying to find more information on the Biden family. How'd they get so rich over so many years? What was the industry? What was the business? What were they selling? What was the assembly line? Oh, that's right. It's selling American influence. Everybody getting rich. So hoping to sit Hunter Biden down. He doesn't want to go behind closed doors. Okay. Jennifer Nassauer from Massachusetts with the Republican Party joining me. Jen, this is the second time that this clown is in the news with this. Why don't these lawmakers just give him what he wants? Open everything up, microphones, cameras, bring everything in. Let's go. And if and when some sensitive stuff that Hunter Biden didn't want out there makes it to the top of the hour news and all the posts on X and Instagram and Twitter, all this embarrassing stuff that maybe he didn't want. If you're behind closed doors, you have some control over that by putting it on the open like Hunter wants. Well, you just created a whole bunch of sound bites and video cuts and how the embarrassing stuff. And the lawmakers could say, look, we could avoid this, but you decided to go full throttle, open air hearings. Why don't they do that, Jen?
I think you should go and advise Congress. I think you would do a much better job, Sergio. You know, it's a really good question. There are so many questions here. Number one, Hunter Biden is getting away with, you know, this because his last name is Biden, right? Two, it's a House Oversight Committee subpoena, which, you know, if it was you or I, we would be shaking in our boots and go and show up because we wouldn't want to be all over the news about this. Hunter Biden doesn't care, right? He's afraid it's going to be manipulated and leaked. Then yes, then okay, Congress says, hey, then we want you in public and let's embarrass you publicly. We were giving you an opportunity to give us information. He's hindering their investigation into Joe Biden's dealings and if Joe Biden had any knowledge or, you know, if Joe Biden had any knowledge of Hunter's dealings and if Joe Biden personally benefited from those dealings. You know, again, if it was flipped, it was the other way. It was a Trump kid. It was a Bush kid. God, right? With the media would be going crazy. It would be a circus and heads would be rolling. You know, now look, does Congress have better things to do and bigger fish to fry? We've got an open border. You guys see it every day. We have everything going on overseas. We have a crashing economy. It's, you know, you're in the South. I'm in the North. It is freezing here. Home heating costs are getting high. It's the holidays. People want to give their kids gifts. They want to put food on the table. We have so many things to think of. And that's not happening right now. And I don't know, you know, are Comer and Jordan going to go forward with contempt proceedings? They need a House vote from the House Oversight Committee.
Yeah.
Then they need it to go to the full House, which, you know, only a handful of extra Republican votes and the Democrats get in line. And then guess where it goes? It goes to the DOJ. Mic drop. All done.
Yeah. Well, I think, just my opinion, and part of this maybe they lost many days in the fight to get a speaker, but I wish most of this would have been done and voted on already. So we would know how in the 40-some-odd swing seats that they have in the House, because everything else is solid red or solid blue, but and they say like 35 to 45 different seats, whatever it is, but we would know how they voted. I'm glad that the inquiry is official now. You know, I know this might not be your bailiwick, Jen, but I'm just curious. Jennifer Nassauer, she's with the Republican Party up northeast, in Massachusetts. Do you know, now that the inquiry into the alleged corruption by Joe Biden and his family and looking into all that, does that give Congress more teeth to not only demand documents from National Archives and all these other agencies, but also when it comes to stuff like this with Hunter and Joe Biden's brother and other family members, very rich family members, does that give them more teeth? What does this do, this official inquiry now that plows forward after the congressional vote?
Well, I mean, I'm not an expert in this, but here's what I'll say. Anything that Congress does is not a legal proceeding. It's not by a judge. And so they can't be arrested. There's no, you know, they would need to go through this entire contempt proceeding and have it shipped up to the DOJ. I have no confidence that the DOJ is going to be investigating anything when it comes to the Bidens. And so, you know, that's their power that they have. That's it.
Can I ask you something else on messaging?
Of course.
As I let you go, look, right now would be the best opportunity for the Republicans to properly be messaging. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is a guy, he's going to have his own piggy bank account and be doing his own advertising. And he might be the one that in the end saves the national GOP. But I'm talking about Ronald McDonald, Ronald McDaniel, and all the leaders, for national leaders. This is the time to message the hardworking Black families, Black community. This is the time for the same thing for Latinos nationwide to get in their face, social media, all those websites, Instagram and X and Facebook, whatever it is, YouTube, whatever it is, get in their face and put facts in front of them. First of all, economic facts, inflation, and how to turn things around, energy, all those things. And yes, do the job of the media, what the job the media is supposed to be doing, and prioritizing the mess at the border that is just awful and deadly. And the GOP should be spending money now. The clock is ticking. We're about 11 months away from, less than 11 months away from the election. I don't expect to see any of that aggressive ground game, media game right now by the Republicans. Why is that? And I know you're close to these people working at the National Committee.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that they will. I think that the messaging is really important. I think, you know, the messaging is above any of the candidates, right? It is a message that I think, you know, Republicans need to communicate, because the mainstream media has done a really phenomenal job over many years of making Republicans out to be evil, mean-spirited. You know, you're the Grinch, you're a Meisner. And in the meantime, that's not the case. And I think that Republican Party has a really great opportunity here for exactly what you're talking about, to communicate to different groups of people that, you know, look, the borders are over and migrants are coming over. And if you live in a community that's ridden with guns and violence and drugs, then guess what's coming over the border? More guns and violence and drugs. No one wants that. No one wants to raise their family in that. Yeah. No one wants their elderly relative to be around that. You know, that's actually a fact. How about, you know, and living in Massachusetts, we've kicked out, our Democratic establishment has kicked out from public housing our elderly who have paid taxes and are, you know, barely getting by. Our veterans who have given their lives to service for our country to house migrants. Isn't that disgusting?
There are so many messaging. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely, Jen. There's so many messaging opportunities. But I know you're closer to leadership on that one. And I would hope you and like-minded friends can work the phones a bit. It's time to go on offense before the dams, before Joe Biden and his minions, before they seize the opportunity and start twisting the message and start brainwashing people. It's time to message now, to be out of the gate first. Jennifer, it's always a pleasure. She's founder of Pocketbook Project. She's with the Republican Party up in Massachusetts. Jennifer Nassauer. Got about 10 minutes left in this hour of the program. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, you guys traveling out there among the 104 million people hitting the road over the next several days. You guys be careful out there. And thank you much for joining us on The Dana Show from South Texas.
Much of what we see happening around us today results from decades of failure in American education. Americans are increasingly divided over what policies are best for our country. And so that's why I'd like to invite you to make a year-end gift to Hillsdale College and their mission to preserve the blessings of civil and religious liberty through a proper education. Hillsdale College is leading an American revival. Over 3.5 million citizens have enrolled in one or more of Hillsdale's free online courses. Thousands of young Americans are enrolled in over 90 Hillsdale affiliated K-12 schools, and 6.4 million Americans receive Imprimis 10 times a year. Hillsdale does all of this while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding. Hillsdale's independence means that they rely on the support of citizens like you who understand the importance of education and liberty. You can make your tax-deductible year-end gift at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. On behalf of our friends at Hillsdale College, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Merry Christmas to one and all. Appreciate you tuning in to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for us, you know, here at KURV in South Texas, always an honor to flip the switch and do what we can to keep you informed and, you know, stay up to speed with everything taking place. One of the conversations coming up a little later in the program, gift cards and the gimmick that, I mean, how do I describe it? Like a gimmick that borders on being a scam. Now, it's like one of the more popular things of the season is gift cards. But, man, do you have any idea how many billions, and it's billions upon billions of dollars, that go unspent on these gift cards? We'll talk about that later in the program. Also, as you're looking for some stocking stuffers, a friend that I made at a distance, it's like here in deep South Texas, about 1,800 miles away from up northeast, these are all long-distance friendships. Jimmy Fallon from Fox Nation and his new book, Good could be one of those stocking stuffer books. It's he's always a lot of fun, so you know his book's going to be fun. The Cancel Culture Dictionary. Speaking of New York, let me see if I can find a. I had this. Oh yeah, this from New York, because you guys got up Northeast. If you're listening to the Dana Show up Northeast, yeah, my heart's with you. Yeah, and you got some cold weather. No snow though. Gonna have to wait to maybe January, February for something like that. But hey, at least you get a cold Christmas. My Christmas here in South Texas is going to be like highs in like the mid 70s, lows overnight in the 60s. And you guys got slammed by a nasty storm. And up in New York, where Mayor Eric Adams is hosting hundreds and tens of thousands of illegal immigrants. Some of the compliments of Texas, all the buses we've been sending to you. Yeah, that nasty storm, those. One report said, let me see if I can find it, up to 3 inches of flood water reported in some tents. They got like tent cities housing some of these illegal immigrants. So they had some flooding at some of the tent cities. Mayor Eric Adams in the New York Post was saying that he could fix the migrant crisis, as is being popular, and that's as it's being called. He could fix the migrant crisis if he were in the White House. I don't think that would be from a perspective of adding more security or shutting things down. No, I think it'd be greasing the skids. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show from South Texas. Merry Christmas.
And as we get moving, our partners over at Patriot Mobile. Now, I mean, you could use a different cell phone service. That's fine if you want to support communists and you want to end America and you hate all the things and all that stuff. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure that if the founders were alive today, they would use Patriot Mobile. I mean, it makes sense. No guilt or nothing. But, you know, if you want to save yourself money in a time of Biden inflation, you know, they got a lot of great deals and they can save you a lot of money. They also have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. So you're not only creating more U.S.-based jobs, but you're maintaining U.S.-based jobs, which is nice. And I know these folks. I mean, they're great. I mean, the guy who founded Patriot Mobile literally lives down the road from me. So I've never had an issue, but if I did, I'd just show up at his house and be like, what's up? I'm not encouraging you to do that, but I'm just saying they're good folks. And they also have dependable nationwide coverage in all three major networks. You get the best service. You're not funding the left. Keep your phone. Keep your number. Upgrade. The choice is yours. And you also can take advantage of their Black Friday ongoing promotion. Free smartphone, code Friday76, limited time only. PatriotMobile.com/Dana is the website. The number is 972-PATRIOT, promo code Friday76 for that free smartphone. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT, code Friday76.
10 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. Merry Christmas, one and all. Appreciate you tuning in. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. And let's start going through some of the news for this hour. I appreciate you guys sticking around. So that's a little bit of the best of, the best of here on The Dana Show. Let's see here. Cut 10, Steve, is Representative Joaquin Castro on border security. And this, from the perspective of a Democrat, socialist, leftist. Cut 10, Steve. Go ahead.
I want to speak quickly to the Democrats in the Senate and others who are considering supporting this proposal. If you do so, you will be surrendering to right-wing racism. Right. And more than that, you will be enabling it.
Right-wing racism for having border security. Man, we are not only on two separate rail tracks. We are separated by a vast chasm of ideas when it comes to border issues. See, what you see right now on the U.S.-Mexican border, it's open border under Joe Biden. This is what the Democrats want. If you think that voting for the Democrats is the way to go in November 24, for the little bit of information that the dinosaur networks have provided to you and how bad the situation is on the border, just multiply that by at least four more years of that craziness. For the, what is it so far, like 5 million people that have crossed the border that should not be here right now, the 2, maybe 3 million people that have been encountered by Border Patrol, 1.5 to 2 million people that are the gotaways. And see, that's where we have the biggest concern, is the gotaways, the getaways, the people that we have no idea why are they running for Border Patrol. We had almost about 3 million people that encountered Border Patrol to be allowed a free ticket to this country to get a chance to stay or get in line for an asylum request that we know they're not going to qualify for. But of the 1.5 to 2 million people who bolted from Border Patrol, why? What is it in their criminal record? What is it in their background? What is it? Why? What is it that they're carrying in their backpack? Who is it that's accompanying them? Are these children, sexual slaves? Who are these people? You like what you see on the border? If you've been able to see anything on the border, well, keep voting Democrat, and you'll get the ideas of Joaquin Castro, who anything, everything that they do not agree with when it comes to properly policing the border, properly providing some security, properly filtering people coming into this country so we know who's coming here. So we just don't have an open door mindset. Yeah, continue voting Democrats. So you get all these ideologues out there calling anything that they don't agree with right-wing racism. Now, another gem of a comment recently. This was, and I'm surprised it's I haven't heard more of it. Maybe people just expecting this from Donald Trump. The promise from Donald Trump when elected, and I do believe in my heart of hearts that he will be reelected. I mean, he's going to be the nominee, period. Unless, you know, God forbid something happens and he says, I can't do this anymore, I'm leaving. It's up to him to leave. Or you know, something, I don't even want to take my mind there to think something bad would happen to him. But he will be the nominee with 50, 60 points ahead. And I do believe in my heart of hearts he will be the president. The American people will correct course. It's only a handful of states, like literally, or 5 or 6 states, like a half dozen states, that will make that determination. It may come down to just a couple hundred thousand votes in those key swing states. And see, that's when I shared that audio last hour of Ronald McDonald, as I laughingly referred to her, not lovingly, but laughingly referred to her. The lack of leadership that we have at the national. Right now is the time to go on office. Right now is the time to message. Right now is to take 3 salient points. It is the economy stupid. It is inflation. It's Bidenomics. It's the Biden border mess. And it's lawlessness. But they should go on offense right now in swing states. If you don't want to do it nationwide, fine. Don't spend any in California. Don't spend any money in New York. Don't spend any money in Illinois. All these places are deep blue states. They are lost. They're lost. Politically speaking, they are in hell. And you see some of the expressions and their policies and the poop-filled streets of heaven in San Francisco and the spineless district attorneys, the spineless prosecutors that they have in those places. And, of course, in this mindset that takes in all these illegal immigrants, they were sanctuary states, sanctuary cities, and now they have to take all these people in. Fine. Don't advertise. Advertise GOP. Ronald McDonald, Rana McDaniel, take the money you have. You need to be owning the issues of Bidenflation and make sure people are properly informed of the mess that Biden has created the past 24 months needlessly by not addressing the supply chain issue and by pumping way too much money. Too much money, not enough stuff, boom, inflation. The Biden border mess needs to be properly put into perspective. It needs to be properly communicated to the American people. Donald Trump wants to deport millions of illegal immigrants as soon as he takes office. I don't know how he's going to do it. He has to repair Immigration Customs Enforcement, the ICE office. It's somewhat doable. I don't know. He'll have to figure that out because it's a mess now. It was a mess before the immigration system. It's definitely a whopper of a mess under Joe Biden. That's one key thing that he said that I'm surprised they haven't pounced on it because maybe they just expect him to say things like this. But I've seen some of the lefties near me. Some of my friends go, their eyebrows go up like, what did he just say? He says illegal immigrants are poisoning the blood of America. That's a racist remark. I could just see they cringe. It's like they get all uncovered by you. Poisoning? What does it mean by that? Poisoning the blood of America. The blue blood of America? The pure blood of America? The pure white blood of America? Come on, people. Well, what is the lifeblood of America? The lifeblood of the American economy is petrol, is gasoline, is diesel. The blood, it's the market. It's what we all feed off of. It's what we all participate in. It's the market. It has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with the purity of the white race. But I know you're thinking it. You crazy. You lefties out there. Cheap, illegal, low-skilled labor to the tune of millions of people being flooded into the market puts a stress on salaries. And this is where you guys in unions, I don't get it. Why do you in leadership continue to support a Democrat administration that has opened the floodgates, the cheap labor in this country that you know will be eroding the negotiating strength and the power of unions, all types of unions nationwide, because you got all this cheap labor in this country, low-skilled labor, that's going to be clawing and fighting to feed themselves and feed their family for at least a half generation, the next 20 years, hoping and praying that these kids that are born in this country, that should not be in this country, that are creating a whole new dreamer class, hoping that they get some education, maybe get a higher skill set to provide more labor in necessary fields like trucking, like medical and nursing, like welders, plumbers, electricians, all that skill set, maybe even achieve greater things. But that still needs to be determined. And another 20 years with a new dream class puts a stress on affordable housing all over the place. We got illegal immigrants up in New York living in flooded tents where they have like 2-3 inches of rain. They're just sopping up rain. They're walking around in rain-soaked tents putting up in New York. Social services, education, caring for abandoned kids. As well, because they send kids on their to the tune of hundreds of thousands, and not to mention of those people who ran, like I told you, the people who ran the getaways. Man, there's in that getaway population, I would bet good money. There's a large percentage. There's a bunch of criminals in there. They're working for the cartels in Mexico. They're the ones that are helping to bring all that poison in, that fentanyl coming into our country. That's what you get. Under the Democrats, that's what you get under Joe Biden. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas. Merry Christmas.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
From Chicago, as they deal with the flood of illegal immigrants, let's call them what they are, illegal immigrants, gaming the asylum system. 5-year-old boy living at one of these shelters that they've set up for these folks. In a Chicago neighborhood, 5-year-old has died. The youngster has been identified. Child not feeling well yesterday was taken to a children's hospital where he later was pronounced dead. Where's the headlines on this, and where's the call to action by the left? Where's the call to action from all these leftists holding Joe Biden responsible for the death of yet another child in his care, right? Heads up, dozens of granola bars and cereal products are being recalled for potential salmonella. Quaker Oats Company, and they say it's a bunch of stuff that's being affected. You might want to check with the Food and Drug Administration website. They say Quaker Chewy Bars, Puffed Granola Cereal, just some of the stuff that's being recalled. There's a concern, salmonella contamination. They have not received any reports of people getting sick so far. NBA legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar took a nasty spill late last week. Broke his hip, had to go into hip replacement surgery this past weekend. And research out of the University of California identifying potential biomarkers for suicidal thoughts. A new study found people with depression, suicidal thoughts, had 5 detectable compounds in their bloodstream. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas. Merry Christmas.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the president's talking about it. The administration's talking about it. Why isn't that message getting through?
Well, you know, I think it's a mixed bag. One, we need to make sure that, you know, and it's not you, but some in the media, instead of covering what type of shoes Joe Biden has on for the day, right, to actually cover the work that's being done in those communities. That's one. The second part is that we have to make sure that we get into the communities and connect them with the resources.
Yeah. Actually, that's the mindset from the left. That's a mindset from the Democrats. Get into the community and brainwash them and tell them, hey, don't believe your eyes. Don't believe what you see. Don't believe the price at the store. Don't believe the price on your electricity bill. Don't believe the price of everything that you're paying for, from hotels to groceries to the car repair, the new vehicles, more expensive airfare, hotels, furniture. All don't believe that. We will tell you what to believe. Yeah, that was Jamie Harrison. He's with the DNC. Upset that some in the media are not carrying the water right now for the Democrat Party. That's the way it should be. They're still not doing their job in properly communicating to the American people the facts of inflation, the facts of the Biden border mess, the facts of this culture, this lawless culture that exists right now in Washington, and unfortunately in many Democrat-run cities. This is not your daddy's JFK Democrat Party from a long time ago. Merry Christmas, my friend. Thank you for joining us on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash, and I'm going to share with you a conversation here in just a little bit on gift cards, the racket that is the gift card industry. And considering how advanced websites, social media, apps, everything is today, there's no reason why there should be billions and billions of dollars left on the table, left on these cards. But I tell you, it's a right. They do it on purpose. And we'll find out how many billions of dollars you guys are leaving on those gift cards on a year-to-year basis. Speaking of money, here's a good idea. More than half of U.S. high school students will soon be required to take personal finance courses before graduation. It's about time, don't you think? To empower individuals to understand that they can make money in this country, make more money than any other country in the world, to make money and sock it away for responsibly for their future, to provide for themselves and provide for their sweetie, and maybe leave something for their children. This is a great idea. Pennsylvania, becoming the 25th state to guarantee a personal finance course for high school students. Governor signing that personal finance courses, teaching high school kids real world lessons, include spending, saving, credit scores, investing, managing risk. All these things that how many generations have we gone through now where none of this has been talked about at high school level? None of this has been debated. None of this has been considered. Yes, I know this probably is the type of stuff put kids to sleep because they're not the ones that are managing a portfolio. They're probably don't even have a bank account, but they should. Like right now, I'm working to get my kid, Dilly and I, my wife and I, are working to get my 16-year-old his own bank account and put some money in there for him to start responsibly, start spending and learning the value and the expenses. It was like the other day, we're sitting at, I don't know, some national chain getting a burger. It's my wife and I, my little one, my Elon, my 11-year-old, Noah, my 16-year-old. And Noah takes a look at the bill some days back. He goes, what? $75? Yeah, with a tip. Yeah, it comes. And so every time that you sit down, son, because he understands the price of stuff because it's all based on the price of video games, the price of, I don't know, new iPhone, the price of the electronics, the virtual reality stuff that he has. All, you know, he lives in an electronic world right now. And he knows the price of apps and everything else. But to see, it's like he looks at that bill at $75 going, man, what I could buy for $75 right now online. He puts it into perspective. Well, we need to put that on steroids. An American electorate, an American economy, American workers, they need to understand the value of money. And it needs to start when they're young. I'm not a very big fan. I'm not a very big fan of kids working a little too young. Now, I do believe that they should value money that they attain through hard labor, maybe unloading trucks, maybe working the fields, working something difficult, something hard, something that provides more money. But so there's always the temptation to follow that money instead of following the books. Don't you agree? It's like once kids start making money at 16, 17, 18, they're going to be distracted with that paycheck. See, and I don't want that for my boy. I do want him to value money, to understand that he can save for the future, that he can make and save, understand credit, and not abuse credit, not be abused by credit either, to turn down those extra credit cards, spending, saving, credit cards, credit scores, all those things, investing. Our kids need to understand that. I applaud Pennsylvania. We need a lot. We need a national program for this so that all kids in high school start understanding that it is up to them as individuals to save for their future, sock away for their future, so they have something to protect themselves and provide for their kids, their progeny, sometime down the road, instead of allowing the government to provide a Social Security check that's probably not even going to be there in the next generation, the way things are going right now. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show, coming at you from South Texas. And it's Christmas time. One of the more popular gifts that will be exchanged and re-gifted are these gift cards. Well, I think it's all a racket. Here's my conversation with Anna Kocharian. During gift-giving season, gift cards, very, very popular. Anna Kocharian is with Consumer Reports. She's in charge of writing up shopping stories, editing all that. Anna, welcome to the program. Hey, how long have you been with Consumer Reports?
I have been there almost 3 years now.
Okay. Also, you got to see the pandemic economy and the post-pandemic economy. So,
yes, appreciate
your work over at Consumer Reports. Okay, on the issue of gift cards, man, you talk about something that people spend money on, but not all people who receive these gifts eventually spend them or use them. You have some figures there in front of you. How many of these cards go unused? They're lost? Any idea?
Over last time we conducted a study, which was around 2021, we found that over 51% of Americans have a gift card that is unused, which is a pretty large percentage of the population, if you think about it. And I myself am one of them. I can say I definitely have gift cards that I just forget to use sometimes.
Why is that? You know, out of sight, out of mind, you put in your desk or... Why is it?
Yeah, one of the biggest reasons why these gift cards get unused is because when people receive them, they forget about them. And then the longer you hold on to them, the less likely you are to use them. So we definitely recommend that the moment you receive it, put it in your wallet. Imagine that it's sort of like getting cash. You would add it to your wallet and use it the next time you're at the store. Nowadays, a lot of people are sharing digital gift cards, which can be a little harder to keep track of. So what we recommend is keeping a running list of the gift cards that you receive.
Another thing to do. Another list to do. Yeah, I don't want another to-do list.
better to keep a list than to lose out on that money, though. You know, you could just jot it down on your phone, or you can print out a copy of the gift card if that helps you, and just stick that in your wallet, and then that way you can refer to it whenever you're shopping.
Anna Kocharian is with Consumer Reports, and she's writing and editing stuff for shopping and deals. We're talking about gift cards, and wow, like over 50% of Americans have gift cards that have gone unused. I've got some, but I've got a plan for them. See, around here we have a local grocer, and they'll give you a coupon, like, you buy two of these cards, and we'll give you a $10 in-house card, H-E-B, around here. I'll name it. Say, well, you buy two of these cards, and we'll give you, like, a $5 or $10 card for in-house spending. Well, presto, I just took care of a couple of my friends, or maybe bought stuff where we regularly go eat, whether, you know, some of the national chains or, you know, fancy restaurants, whatever. Yeah, I know we're going to spend it. I know we go there after church on Sunday on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for those cards, and they get the $5 or $10 card at the grocer, and presto, I just got me some bread and milk and tortillas or whatever. You know, I got some groceries out of the whole thing for a purchase I know is expected very near future. So I got a little system. I just go check the card section out there. And I recommend people, if you have grocers that do that, I'd recommend that you do it that way. That we get
that's a great option.
More value out of it. But I'm surprised. Well, actually, I shouldn't be, because maybe I think they're doing it on purpose. We do everything with our phone now. So you can, at the payout, checkout, you press your phone, ding, 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 you just paid for whatever purchase you have. I know there's got to be a way where all these gift cards, killing trees, all these little cards, right? They should be obsolete by now, where they make it easy through the numerous apps of the restaurant chains and the store chains that you visit,
right?
That automatically that goes into that app as a credit next time you go to that restaurant or to that retailer. ding, 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 it pays for it. Just like,
yes.
But I'm convinced that they don't do it because, like we go back to the beginning, over 50% of Americans have gift cards. They didn't use them, and they're counting on people not using them. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, some stores make it easy for you, like you said. Others, you have to work a little harder for it. Another reason why these gift cards are getting left is because maybe somebody receives one to a store they don't shop, or, you know, it's to a brand they don't love. And so when you're giving someone a gift card, make sure that, you know, if it's to a specific restaurant, a coffee shop, a store, whatever it may be, just make sure they frequent that place because it's more likely that they're going to use it. If not, opt for something a little bit more general, like a Visa, an Amex, or an Amazon gift card. And those are generally a lot easier to put.
I don't like those. I don't. You know why I don't like those?
Why?
Well, you know where I'm going. Like, you buy one of those Visa or Amex or whatever gift cards, like the money card.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy those, let's say, I don't know, you buy a $25 card. It just costs you like $3.95 or $4.95 extra to buy $25. Just give your friend $25 in cash.
Yes.
But, you know, everybody's got to make money off it, including the retailer. So the credit card company and the retailer, they make some money, $3.95, $4.95 for you purchasing. If you really need to buy something like that, I say buy a big card. Like, I think the maximum is like $250 or something like that.
Because
you really, really need it. Okay, I understand. But people, you're getting fleeced for buying small money cards like that and paying an extra $3.95. So here's what I would do. Send a Christmas card. Here's $25 I was going to buy in a gift card, and here's the extra $3.95.
Perfect.
Right. I was gonna give you. I don't know if the coins would fit in the Christmas card, but everybody's got to make a dollar. I understand, but yeah, those money cards. That's why I'm not a fan. Cards.
Yeah. Well, yes, plenty of other options out there if someone happens not to be a fan of them, which is a good thing. You have lots of options these days.
There's one final question I had for you. It probably does exist. I haven't looked into it. There's probably like some app or website that's willing to buy cash money, give you some cash for your gift card that you won't, likely you'll never use because it's a business that you don't frequent or probably will never frequent. But it'd be nice to get some cash money out of it, though, right? So is there an app where that will pay you cash money, and maybe 50%, 50 cents on the dollar, 75 cents on the dollar, and then they will resell? And does that exist?
Those third-party apps do exist. We always caution consumers against those apps unless you know it's definitely a trusted source, because you might fall prey to a fraud or scam. So if you do happen to find one that offers to buy up your gift card, just make sure it's a trusted source. And alternatively, if you receive a gift card and you know, I'm never going to buy anything from the store, maybe think about giving that gift card to someone who might use it, or buy a gift for somebody using that gift card. Any way that you can sort of donate or pay forward your balance instead of losing out on it is always a great option.
Well, that's true. You could also donate to your favorite charity. Maybe they could auction it off.
Again,
right? That they could auction it off at a fundraiser, things like that.
Yeah, donating to charities is always a great option as well. And again, just make sure that it is a trusted source that you're donating your gift card to.
I was looking at one of your consumer report write-ups on this. So a few years back, 2020, over $14 billion left on gift cards. So there is money to be made if there's an investment into a reliable national app. They'll tell you, we'll give you 50 cents on the dollar cash money. You want the cash? Here you go. And that way they can go possibly reset. $14 billion left on the cards.
That's
amazing.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. All right. Thank you so much, Anna. Merry Christmas. Happy 2024. Thank you so much for your report today.
Thank you for having me. Happy holidays.
From Consumer Reports, she's in charge of shopping and deals. That's Anna Kocharian. Got about 10 minutes left in this hour of the program. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas. Stick around next hour. I'm going to share with you a story from North Texas, from Dana's backyard up North Texas, a school district. This story blows me just completely out of the water. Just wow. Leaving parents feeling completely powerless, can't do anything about a situation that might involve like narcotics and their kids getting sick, sending them to the hospital, and no information whatsoever. That's coming up next hour of the Dana Show from South Texas. Merry Christmas.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, these security cameras are getting better and better. I'd like to know which one they were using on this one. This, what county is this? Polk County, the sheriff's office, they provided for a broadcast. A Florida man breaking into an apartment stealing ingredients to make a morning screwdriver. Young guy, you can see pretty good detail. You can see this face pretty good. 5:30 in the morning, he breaks into an apartment, gets some OJ, gets some vodka. You can clearly see him in several pictures. Only $35 worth of stuff that he got away with. But so much for, yeah, it's being too early in the morning for drinking. This guy obviously couldn't get a morning drink fast enough. A screwdriver, some fruit juice, and some vodka. And it was this week, by the way. They celebrate this week National Screwdriver Day. I learned something this week. I'm not much into drinking. So some of y'all probably know. It's fruit. A screwdriver is fruit juice. Vodka. That's pretty much like it could be orange juice, cranberry juice, something like that. Why do they call it screwdriver? Because in World War II, our soldiers would take a screwdriver to open up the cans of juice in order to mix it with the vodka. Mm-hmm. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.
Well, the thing about, and you point out with Xi, you know, he ran in 2016 with a very strong policy against China. He had talked about China ripping us off. He had talked about China getting away with building up military. And that was really a key thing. And yet, when it came time to be president, you know, he didn't take the forceful action that he did. In fact, when COVID hit, which was really the time I think he could have marshaled a lot of support in America to have a stronger posture vis-a-vis China, he was praising Xi about how well Xi did with the virus early on. But you and I both know China covered up what was going on.
Yeah, well, you recognize the voice, Governor Ron DeSantis. And I agree with him to an extent, and I'll tell you in a second. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show, Hour 3 of the program. Appreciate you tuning in today. Merry Christmas to you. You can also join us online. Look for all the different platforms that carry the condensed version of The Dana Show later in the day. Producer Steve will condense all that into a podcast form. So Governor Ron DeSantis criticizing the former President Trump. Now, that came fast and furious, that COVID year, and all the suspicions that, you know, we knew it came from China. We knew it came from a region that had that bio research lab with all those pathogens in China. And the debate back and forth, Fauci not helping, all these other fools in the upper echelons of medical decision-making in the country, just always wanting to deflect away from the possibility that this pathogen was accidentally released. And then it took time. It wasn't until much later, towards the end of the administration by President Donald Trump, that all these suspicions that we had, that it was possibly release all these lab workers who got sick. They had to be hospitalized back in November, and the spread of this pathogen, this COVID pathogen, more than likely, yes. But we will never know because, well, I don't want to say we will never know. What we won't know is what 4 more years immediately, you know, like a re-election of Donald Trump would have done. But I think all this could be, and I say should be, corrected by the new president, the returning president, Donald Trump, on the origins of COVID, and hold China to account on this. Because when it comes to, he was really good, Donald Trump was real good when it came to tariffs, putting penalties in place, getting answers. And I do believe that that's one of the first things that he should do when Donald Trump goes back to office. It's demand answers from China. Open up this information. Expose to the world, to the U.S., to Europe, because the whole idea is we don't want this ever happening. Again, the COVID origin, that needs to be revisited, I believe. And I think it can be. Just like President Ron DeSantis would, I would hope that that's the focus. I think President Donald Trump would do the same thing and needs to do it. And we would need to ask that he concentrate and focus on that. We need some answers from China on this. If not, maybe some type of reparation for this awful, some would say, mistake. Maybe they did it on purpose. I don't know. Maybe they released it to the world to cause all this chaos and confusion and get rid of Donald Trump. Either way, I believe, like less than a year from now, he'll be coming back. That's Donald Trump back at the White House. But there's other issues that need to be addressed, and they could all be stacked up and demand that China, you got to hold China to account. Fentanyl, the chemicals that produce fentanyl, all that needs to be addressed, and China needs to be held accountable. You can't be treating China with kid gloves. Yes, I know that the majority of U.S. manufacturing, sadly, when it comes to pharmaceuticals, and a lot of the crap that we buy, and many of the assembly lines, yes, I know that they're in China. We only have maybe less than 10% of American industry and pharma that are looking to escape those Chinese assembly lines and come back, but they're addicted to cheap labor. We got some cheap labor in the Americas, people. We need Donald Trump, in my opinion, we definitely need him as a chief executive to crack the whip on the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, crack the whip on all these industries that are overseas, work with lawmakers to incentivize at a quicker pace the return of much of this American industry back either to America or to the Americas, where cheap labor is just south of us. You know this flood of illegal immigrants that we have coming to us from South America, from Central America, from the Caribbean? That's a big chunk of the illegal immigrants that are crossing the border right now. They're coming to us from the Americas. If we had some enterprising, think outside the box, courageous individuals, titans of industry to say, you know what, we're going to uproot that from Asia, from China, not be dependent on these boats coming this way in case something else happens, they're going to do the U-turn, go back over there. No, we're going to work with the Western Hemisphere. Yeah, a lot of industry, a lot of assembly lines would stay in Asia, would stay in China. Well, I would say the overwhelming majority would. But right now, this reshore, this return of American industry from Asia is real. And I think Donald Trump needs to hold China culpable, responsible, accountable for the COVID origin, for the fentanyl chemicals that wind up in Mexico and the production of all this poisonous, this fentanyl crap that's killing more than 110,000 people, 110,000 Americans every single year. The intellectual theft. All these inventors, all these patents, all this information, all this industry, all these inventions, all the software that is allowed by this government providing visas to way too many Chinese intellectuals to come and work at universities, at research facilities, at medical facilities. We have to re-examine that. They need to double down on efforts at the Justice Department to do investigations on intellectual theft. And I think we get that with Donald Trump coming back to the White House. Well, don't look now, which, by the way, thanks to my friend, my brother, Producer Kane. Thank you. I've been fishing down the show. I saw this one. Speaking of China, maybe they're still brewing the next excuse as to how they're going to wind up taking control of the next election or shutting things down, or maybe shut down China. We should never again be in a position where if China shuts down, if a big chunk of assembly lines or production shut down in China, it will affect the supply chain in America for whatever it is, especially in critical systems, computer chips and pharmaceuticals and things that relate to national security. Check this out. Doctors worldwide, they say, this report out of China, reportedly in a meltdown, the word in this writing, China confirming that a mysterious pneumonia taking over their country has stopped responding to all antibiotics. All right. Now, here's where I red flag this thing. Antibiotics. Let me put a little asterisk on that. Some folks questioning the fact that viruses don't normally respond to antibiotics. That's why I red flagged it. Some, quote-unquote, experts are yet to confirm the nature of these viruses. First-hand account from China, MUM. They've been reporting how the strange unidentified virus has been causing chaos in some parts of China for several weeks. World on high alert over fears of a new pandemic could be on the way. When I spoke with a local infectious disease expert on this about a month and a half ago, We'd been hearing this steady drumbeat from China of infections rising, upper respiratory infections rising in China. This is a new report, but I have to look at it with a suspicious eye, though. It's the Daily Star that put this, that some people in medicine are in a meltdown because they're confirming in China they got this mysterious pneumonia. It's resistant to all antibiotics. Antibiotics won't work. See, that's why I look at it with suspicion. Antibiotics won't work on viruses. I mean, it's just common sense. I'm no doctor, but you know, I've got a couple of kids, and I've had infections of my own. Antibiotics don't work on viruses. Either way, so reportedly, China's still working its way through an upper respiratory system that's kicking their butt, and they have no medicine for it, no treatment for it. Something to put back in, you know, the back of your head as we enter another upper respiratory season, and more importantly, another election season going into next year. Out of sheer obligation to acknowledge some of the day's news, I got to cover this next one. But a fired Democrat's Senate aide, a 24-year-old young man, who made a gay sex tape in a Senate room. This young man is facing criminal charges. He made a full-throttle, X-rated clip. It went viral. I don't know. See, I don't know about this. There are many in the gay community that want you, no matter what, by force to accept their lifestyle. And you got to see it. You got to. I mean, that's why they parade. And they parade with nothing on, or maybe some S&M gear, and with high, dudes in high heels and trans and all that stuff that they enjoy in the one life that they have to live, that they're allowed to live. That's what they've chosen to enjoy and live, and that's their lifestyle. I don't care. Just don't put it in front of my kids. Don't be flashing your male bubble butt injected surgically enhanced butt in front of my kids. Don't let my kids see that. I don't let my kids see that. I let my kids see, you know, women doing stuff like that. I got some healthy boys, but some of these folks in the gay community will force or want to force everybody to accept them no matter what. And I say this because I don't know if this young man, this Democrat senator, I just have my suspicion. It's just a suspicion. I'm just commenting here. Maybe he released it. Maybe he threw it out there because he wants everybody to see, wants everybody to accept. But you know what I find surprising? Look, this guy, this 24-year-old young man, Aiden Meese Kurpovsky, I don't know how to say his name, 24-year-old, he worked for Democrat Senator Ben Cardin. And it clearly shows two men, you know, getting with it the way that gay men will, supposedly, right in this clip in that Senate room. And I'll leave it at that. Why are the Democrats not celebrating this? You know, I seem to recall when Slick was in the White House, Bill Clinton, you know, his behavior, his raunchy, unethical, abusive behavior as a subordinate, an intern, you know, all this oral stuff, the cigarettes, all that stuff. You know, back then they were using the excuse to defend him that, oh, it's just sex. It's just sex. Hey, that's private, whatever. They were defending him. They went to great lengths to defend him despite the fact that he literally soiled the Oval Office with his bodily, you know, fluid and her dress as well. And they defended, they circled the wagons to defend him. What has changed? And where's the gay leadership, gay community, the militants out there protecting this young man? Now, he's made himself out to be the victims. I don't know. I'm suspicious of this. I'm thinking, I don't know. Maybe he released it or a friend released it, but either way, he gets fired, he gets canned. He might be facing criminal charges as a result of having gay sex in one of those Senate rooms, maybe facing criminal charges. Why? I thought you Democrats celebrated this up in Washington. Oh, I thought you guys defended this up in Washington. Well, maybe this kid wasn't powerful enough for that, to warrant that. It's already almost 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Stick around. I got a stocking stuffer idea for you coming up later. My friend Jimmy Fela from Fox Nation. Cancel Culture Dictionary. Great book. That's details of that coming up in just a little bit. From South Texas, I refer to this station as The Dana Show. Southern Command, KURV in South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Dozens of granola bars and cereal products being recalled. Potential salmonella risk. Quaker Oat Company sending out this recall. Some of the items include Quaker Chewy Bars, Puff Granola Cereal. The company has not received any confirmed reports of illnesses, just FYI. And then there's this, a follow-up. You guys remember that story of applesauce pouches? Well, here's the latest headline, USA Today. The applesauce pouches recalled for lead contamination might have been contaminated intentionally. Yikes! U.S. Food and Drug Administration investigating whether the recalled cinnamon-flavored applesauce pouches sold nationwide and given to all sorts of kids. 65 kids got sick with lead poisoning as a result of this thing. Now the USDA is investigating if this lead poisoning was intentional somewhere in the supply chain. Stay tuned for details on that one. Move over, rotisserie chicken. Costco, the big box, has sold more than $100 million worth of gold bars. They did that last quarter. Costco began selling gold online in September. 1 ounce, 24 karat gold bar selling for about $2,000. They sell it online, limit 2 bars of gold per Costco membership, and it sells out. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, The Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's just perverse to me that Republicans are weaponizing his addiction because they've never accepted his father, Joe Biden, is president. And he made it clear there's no dot to connect between his own personal issues with finances and then Vice President Joe Biden.
That is, I know you don't recognize his voice, but his name you do. Eric Fartswell, Eric Swalwell. He was talking to Jim Acosta over at CNN, another embarrassment. He's saying you can't connect the dots. There's no dots to connect. Hunter Biden's his personal problems, his financial dealings, financial issues. You can't connect those dots to Vice President Joe Biden. I mean, take it from a guy and, of course, his companions who think you're just that way too many Americans. And he's right to an extent because you get about maybe 30% of the electorate and a smaller percentage. They still believe that, for example, Donald Trump, you know, was in bed with Russia. This whole Russia hoax, there's a strong percentage, like 20% of people that still believe, especially on the Democrat side, they still believe that Donald Trump is in bed with the Russians, was in bed with the Russians, with this Russian hoax. And, of course, Eric Swalwell was among those that was constantly pushing this lie, this narrative. Where did Hunter Biden get the millions of dollars to blow on blow and other things that are called blow something? Where did he get the millions of dollars? What skill set, what talent, what high price degree, what corporation does he own? What assembly line? What is it that made Hunter Biden so special? Oh, that's right. He's the son of then a vice president and future president of this country. The entire Biden clan, millionaires, all of them, thanks to Joe Biden and the influence peddling of the entire Biden family. We don't need to connect the dots. There are no dots. Everybody's deep into all this crap. It's all over them. It just needs to be properly addressed by investigators in the U.S. House, properly, and hopefully someday referred to the Justice Department for these bribes that they've taken. It's obvious to everybody, anyone with common sense. The money that this guy got for his blow and everything else blow in his life, yeah, it's from daddy, because of his daddy. I want to share with you a little stocking stuffer conversation here in just a second. Jimmy Failla from Fox Nation, Cancel Culture Dictionary. Stick around. It's a good book. At the box office this weekend, likely one I'm probably not going to see is Wonka. I like the original Gene Wilder, the original Wonka story. I didn't like too much the remake of this with Johnny Depp. Nothing against Johnny Depp. I just, you know, stay true to form. $39 million Wonka at the movie theater this past weekend. And there's quite a few movies coming out this coming weekend. The only ones I'm looking forward to, and it's because of my wife, the story of the Von Erichs, it's Iron Claw, right? It's about I don't know much about the Von Erichs. So I get what, they're twins, brothers, something like that. But I guess it's their life story. Probably good. The Shift is another one I'm curious about. And I wanted to recommend to you one specific movie. It might still be out there in select theaters. Or maybe you can get it online. The title is Radical, or in Spanish, Radical. You have to roll your R's. Radical. Radical. And it's one of those stories about something that really happened, like something from real life. Kind of like the, I guess, Iron Claw, the Von Erichs. That's why I like those movies that are based on, you know, they're like biopics, you know, they're based on real life events, even if they're kind of loosely based. Just tell me a story. I want to believe it's true, even with all the crazy exaggerations that you put in there. But Radical, and you'll... Yes, you have to sit through all the subtitles. They kind of move pretty fast. But it's us. It's South Texas. It's Northern Mexico. And if you want to see conditions, the way of life, immediately south of Brownsville, Texas. Now, here in Brownsville, here in McAllen, here in Harlingen, the RGV of Texas, the Southern Command for the Dana Show, we're in glory. We are on blessed soil. We're in the USA. We're in the land of 911. Not so much immediately south of the Rio Grande in Mexico. You want to see what life is like down there? Immediately south of the border? Radical, the gist of it. And see it when you can. That way you get a good feel of what life is like immediately south of the border. It's a story of a prodigy, a child. A good teacher who brought in a different way of teaching kids and away from the standardized tests, from national standardized tests. Long story short, this prodigy, because of this teacher, was discovered. And now she's got like an IQ, a greater IQ than Einstein. This kid is a real genius. But this child literally lived in a trash heap, in a trash mountain. And she dreamed about the stars, and there's one scene in particular, and I almost cried when I saw it. This child looking across the Boca Chica, the mouth of the Rio Grande goes in the Gulf of Mexico, with her little telescope that she put together, looking at SpaceX and the towers that were going up at Boca Chica, Brownsville, the SpaceX facility, continuing to dream of the stars, dream of space travel. This little child, and she might get a dream. See, that dream might come true because this child's been plucked and saved from the trash heaps of Mexico. Is now getting a good education, and has a healthier way of life. People protecting her. Anyway, it's Radical. Go look for it. It has one of the top Mexican actors, Eugenio Derbez, and I think you'll enjoy that story. It's going to make you cry. 19 minutes to the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, broadcasting from The Dana Show Southern Command in South Texas. It's Christmas time, and you're panicking and looking for a good stocking stuffer. You might be able to buy an online, like a digital version, or maybe an audiobook version that you could easily transfer to a friend. Go look for my friend, and Jimmy Failla, his new book, Cancel Culture Dictionary. He's the author of a new book. Sounds like a great stocking stuffer. Cancel Culture Dictionary, an A to Z guide to winning the war on fun. All right. Jimmy Failla. Jimmy Failla from Fox News describes himself as a trophy husband. Thing is, it's more like a participation trophy, right, Jimmy?
Boom! There it is.
Yeah.
You still got it, Serge.
How are you, bud?
Better now, man. That was to get your energy back into my life, man. I will tell you this. There's a lot of descriptions in that book that matter. The one where I say that I'm the best dressed man in cable news. Okay. And let's be clear. I catch a lot of, Gutfeld always gives me a hard time.
Oh, you're
about
serious?
My wardrobe.
I'm sorry. No.
I'm not serious. Yeah. But what I'm saying is,
okay.
Gutfeld likes to mock my jackets, but he's just mad because they don't come in kid sizes. That's all it is.
Well, it is Christmas. It is Salvation Army season, I guess. By Salvation Army standards and thrift store, yes, you will be the best. You are the best. Deppard Dunn, best dressed guy in cable TV.
Well said.
All right, man. So, Cancel Culture Dictionary. Tell me about your work. How long did you work on this? Some of the stories put this together.
Well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Okay. This book, as we bill it, as an A to Z guide to winning the war on fun. We're doing that because I'm basically making the case to anybody. It doesn't really matter what political party you're in. Okay, cancel culture exists in our lives because of social media. But these people existed before social media. We had a word for them. They were called losers. Okay, social media allowed a lot of losers to find each other and use their outrage to, force action from big corporations, from TV networks.
Yeah.
But nothing's better off because of it. And that's the point I'm trying to make in the book, is that we're fighting the wrong battles. We've spent more time this summer fighting over Jason Aldean's song where he wants to stop violent criminals than we did over actual violent criminals.
Yeah.
You dig? We're madder at the guy with the guitar than the guy who's pushing the old lady onto the train tracks. Now, to be clear, if the old lady's a Knicks fan, she probably wants to get pushed onto the train tracks. But that being said, Aldean's not the bad guy. It's the other person doing the pushing.
Yeah, and the platform, as you rightfully mentioned, the platform for all this silliness is social media. I'm grateful for it. I mean, it's a product of the First Amendment and free expression in this country. But it's I was reflecting on this earlier with Jessica Rosenthal. We were talking about the lunacy on several American campuses. Harvard and Penn. Look, and we're not immune to it. Like here at our UT branch in South Texas, UT RGV, just this week I was playing some audio of mental midgets just parading around and advocating. They have no idea. They probably have no idea what they're advocating for. Genocide of all Jews, from the river to the sea. Just monkey see, monkey do. They did it up northeast. We're going to do it as well down here. It's amazing the ignorance. And within 24 to 36 months, pal, I mean, go figure. On social media, look, in this country, hypersensitivity on race and culture and the Enlightenment, they were taking down statues. They were getting rid of Aunt Jemima, Uncle Ben's, the Redskins. That was like 36 months ago. And now, blatant, open, unashamed anti-Semitism at campuses all across the nation. And directors doing nothing about it. They have to be hauled up to D.C. to talk with lawmakers about this. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've never been
the hypocrisy as well. Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing.
Never been prouder to have gone to community college and majored in intro to Xbox. Because I didn't wind up, hating America or accumulating a half a gazillion dollars in debt. Community college, I had to give a guy like a six-pack of Strohs to get in.
Yeah.
And, I got some common sense along the way, man. And that's kind of more what you need than anything right now, I think, for being honest.
Hey, don't laugh too much at people majoring and stuff like that. I kid you not. Local schools, they have UIL competitions for video games now, like Xbox and the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the change. Look, I'm all for free expression and all that. And thank God we live in America where we can do that. But those same people, those hypocrites long time ago, who nixed and destroyed statues and symbols in corporations, all those idiots and hypocrites, I say bring them back. Bring everything back. It works both ways. It works both ways.
Yep.
That's the way it should be in America.
Nope.
And just a quick final thought on your book, Cancel Culture Dictionary. Tell me about it. One final thought.
They can buy it at foxnewsbooks.com. If one of them buys it, it will double my sales. Right now we have my mom. I've been told my Aunt Fran is a maybe. But it's moving well. And it's basically, I'm fixing the compass. The compass is broken in society. You know, everything we're going after, you mentioned a lot of it, like Native American mascots. Who the heck does that help? Okay, for all the problems Native Americans face, okay, the halftime show isn't one of them. Never mind that the Washington Redskins, okay, that logo was donated by a Native American tribe who wanted the chief's image on the helmet, okay, because a redskin was not a racial term. It was the highest honor of warrior that got to paint their face before leading the tribe into battle. But a bunch of woke white people were like, yeah, the Native Americans, this halftime show isn't okay. And then once you change the mascot, we move on as if we've actually made progress. And as you know, we haven't made any progress for that community, but that's the Florida cancel culture. It's not activism, it's slacktivism. It allows people to feel like they're making a difference on their phone by changing their profile picture to the Ukrainian flag. And then when they're done, they go Google Ukraine and find out where it is.
Thank you for being who you are, Jimmy. Always enjoy your work online, brother. You be safe.
You're the best, Serge.
Jimmy Failla, Cancel Culture Dictionary. Look for his new book. This is The Dana Show from South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. I mentioned SpaceX. I was telling you about that movie, Radical. It's a story of us, a story of Matamoros, Mexico, south of Brownsville, and this phenom, this child looking at SpaceX from a distance, literally from a trash heap that is her home. It's the economic transformation revolution taking place in this land, the Southern Command of the Dana Show, this land, the RGB Tech. It's amazing what's taking place. A big part of that is Elon Musk. And yeah, we're talking about Jimmy Failla, we're talking about these Native American individuals trying to get rid of the logo for the Redskins, right? It reminded me of the story of another story about the SpaceX. They're being hauled to court again. It is the American Bird Conservancy and they say a Native American tribe suing a federal regulator because they're not doing their job in protecting the environment. Say, first time that Elon Musk back, I think it was back in April, tried to send a rocket to space, the big one, the biggest rocket ever created, right? It blew to smithereens, like a concrete pad. But they've improved that to put a metal pad, a launch pad. There's an economic transformation taking place here in the tip of Texas, real in South Texas, in large part thanks to Elon Musk and liquefied natural gas coming down here. Just, it's amazing times. This SpaceX thing down here, 2,100 employees and growing, and they're going to have like a million square feet of production, like a big rocket factory here in South Texas. Just thought I'd let you know, because I sing the praises of Elon Musk. I sing the praises of SpaceX. I sing the praises of the Port of Brownsville all the time down here with liquefied natural gas and the economic revolution taking place. Opportunity, private sector money, where the real opportunity comes is from the private sector and investment. That is the way out of poverty and, of course, the necessary education to take those jobs that are afforded. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas. Merry Christmas.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
As always, a high honor. Thank you much for joining us on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and if you want to say hi, use Twitter, you know, X, as my neighbor down the street, Elon Musk, would say, at Sergio Talk, at Sergio Talk. Email here at the station, Sergio@KURV.com. Coming up tomorrow on the program, among the stories I got, homelessness at an all-time high. I wonder why. Could it be Joe Biden? And that story I promised you from North Texas, that school district. If your kids get sick with some narcotic or suspected narcotic, wouldn't you want to know what happened? I know I would. All right, Steve, some of the stupid news of the day or audio of the day.
We have Randy Weingarten back. Here's what she said.
They have not one thing that they offer as a solution other than privatizing or voucherizing schools, which is about undermining democracy.
All right.
Vouchers about undermining democracy. That's it for today's program. This is The Dana Show.